Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Electricity Day, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, or as the people call me, Mr. Electricity.
You know, I've been around you a lot for the last, 40 years. And I don't remember anybody addressing you as Mr. Electricity. I missed that.
Well, then tell me something. How did I do this? I point to the Binghamton Bearcat, and the bulb lights up.
Because you're Mr. Bearcat.
Mr. Electricity.
Mr. Bearcat.
Welcome, PTI boys and girls. In today's episode, the Hawks beat the Sixers. Baseball announces its crackdown on Goop and Bryson DeChambeau. And Bruce Koepka will not be paired together on Thursday. But we begin today with the news that James Harden's status for tonight's Game 5 against Milwaukee has been upgraded to questionable. Harden went to shoot around today and tested his hamstring. He's reported to be anxious to play. Wilbon, he lasted 43 seconds in the last game he played, and he was out, listed as out until this morning. How do you feel about Harden and the Nets risking this tonight?
I get it, Tony. I understand it. I mean, James Harden's been a great player for a long time. He's been buzzing around championship contention for a long time without having won a championship himself. He wants to get this. That's why he's in Brooklyn. He knows that he's close, that this group can beat any and everybody, and he wants to play, and they need him to play, Tony, it looks like, with Kyrie Irving out. So I get that. Vince Carter said something fascinating this morning on this, or earlier this afternoon on this network. He talked about the economy of movement and the small amount of space that James Harden can operate in. And the context of that is, Tony, he does not have to explode. He was not, and Vince used this analogy, Dominique Wilkins. He doesn't need to sort of lift and get explosion and maybe risk that hamstring as much as some other great players, high flyers, might have had to do. And I thought that was a great observation. Maybe Harden went out this morning and said, okay, I can move in this space and I can do the following things. Let me play. Yeah. And I understand there's risk. James Harden has earned the right, to me, to say to the doctors even, and certainly to coaches and staff people, hey, I'm giving this a go tonight. I know what's at stake. And I applaud James Harden for that. And I hope, fingers crossed, he can stay healthy.
So I'm going to be very clear on this. If James Harden wants to play, he gets to play. These are the playoffs. This is not some random Tuesday night game against Utah. These are the playoffs. And you want to win the playoffs. If he wants to play, let him play. Now, having said that, it's important to point out that the last time he wanted to play, he was out there for 43 seconds. So if you turned your back on the game and went to the refrigerator to get a soda, you missed James Harden. And the reason for that is that hamstrings reoccur all the time. They're like mushrooms on your lawn after a rain. You don't know when they're going to come out and when they're not going to come out. But you know the rain starts it. So if you're out on the court, you're at risk. But if he wants to play, fine. I love the story for this reason. Because this morning he was out. And then early in the afternoon, he was doubtful. And then now he's questionable, which is, so you're telling me there's a chance, right? You're telling me there's a chance. I'll tell you this, Mike.
Three quarters.
If they win game five and he's on the court, he's a hero forever because he doesn't have to play in six. And both he and Kyrie could come back in seven if there's a seven, and they could be Willis Reed. I will not begrudge the team or Harden for playing him.
But just to clear this up now, it's not an elimination game. You could take the approach. You could go to James and say, listen, we are glad you're better. It figures you'll be even better with 48 more hours rest. It's not an elimination game.
I don't believe that with hamstrings.
Okay. No. I don't either, but I was just trying you.
Go to win the game in front of you, Mike. Win the game in front of you.
I agree with you, and that creates great drama for tonight. My goodness. I mean, let me at the TV set right now. I can't wait to see this. The U.S. Open golf tees off in 2 days with rivals Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau in separate pairings. Separate pairings. Boo! Brad Faxon told SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio that the USGA called DeChambeau and his agent to ask whether getting paired with Koepka would be okay. DeChambeau declined. His agent, though, DeChambeau's agent, says today that discussion never actually happened. Tone, shouldn't the USGA have simply paired them without permission?
No, it's totally unfair to DeChambeau.
What?
It's a cheap trick. It's a cheap trick by the USGA. That doesn't mean I don't want to see it, because I do want to see it. But it's a cheap trick for television to do that. You and I differ on this. DeChambeau is the aggrieved party here. DeChambeau isn't attacking Koepka. Koepka is attacking DeChambeau. DeChambeau is the defending champion of the U.S. Open. And he has a right to go out there and try to defend that without being a monkey in a media circus, because that's what Brooks Koepka wants him to be. Now, if they both play well and they meet on Saturday or Sunday, God bless them both. But Koepka is the antagonist in this, not DeChambeau.
What has happened to you? I'm not sure who's being the bigger baby here, DeChambeau or you. Put them out there. The USGA doesn't ask permission. They've always done this. Yes. What do you always say about anything? It's a television show.
That's television show.
That's your excuse for everything. This is a television show Thursday morning.
Yes.
Put them out there. Cheap trick. Who cares? DeChambeau has to know, even if he didn't ask for it, he's a villain. And he makes money. He makes extra millions of dollars, all these commercials out there, because he's a villain. And so that's the deal, Tony. Go out there. These guys have been going after each other since they were 12 years old. It's great to hear Pat Perez tell the stories about growing up in Southern California, having to play against Tiger. And when they were kids, they were 10 years old. And like, I want to beat his brains out. I said, what happened? I lose to Tiger. It's Tony. These guys have been prepared for this since 9 and 10. Don't tell me that DeChambeau, who is obnoxious a lot of times to the volunteers and the littles around the golf course, people tell you that when you're around it. Don't tell me he's scared now of Koepka. I mean, come on. You both are being babies.
Tell me when you're done. Tell me when you're done.
I'm
talking about an issue of fairness. Brooks Koepka is the antagonist. He has encouraged people in the gallery to taunt DeChambeau. This is not the WWE. This is not Don King trying to set up a fist fight. Brooks Koepka has said of DeChambeau, he plays too slowly and he's a know-it-all jerk. And that may be true. And those things may be true. But Brooks Koepka, in the last three or so chances that he's had to go from four majors to seven, didn't beat Tiger at Augusta, didn't beat Woodland at the U.S. Open, didn't beat Phil at the PGA. I think Brooks Koepka should win one more before he mouths off against DeChambeau, which is not to say I don't want to see them play together, because I do. I just think it's a cheap trick.
Next time you utter the phrase, it's a TV show, I'm coming after
it. It is a TV show. It is. You know what? It is a TV show. It's also a cheap trick. Baseball today announced its plan to cut down on goop. Offenders will get a 10-day suspension with pay. What? The more interesting news may be anecdotal. In the roughly 2 weeks since teams were tipped off this crackdown was coming, strikeouts and spin rate down. Batting averages and home runs up. Voila. Joe Girardi says, quote, one of the things we've been fighting is the non-action in our game. I think this could change things. I really do, unquote. Wilbon, are you with Girardi?
Yeah. I mean, Joe's position makes complete sense, Tony. I mean, I understand exactly what Joe was saying. I'm not about to argue with one word of that. But I will say this. I'm with the goopers right now. I'm with the goopers. I hope that somebody has the stones to do it anyway and see if they can get away with it. Because that's what baseball is and has been for 140 years. So I'm okay, you know. I don't have to attack either side of this. And by the way, usually when we get to sort of late June, July, it's hot everywhere. Balls are flying out. Offensive numbers off almost always go up in that period of time. So the calendar has something to do with this. I'm not against Girardi at all, but I'm with the goopers. Now I want somebody to go out and cheat and get away with it because baseball is being sanctimonious, and that I hate more than any of these other positions.
I don't think baseball is being sanctimonious at all. I think this is a necessary course correction, like happened in 1968 when the pitchers were way ahead of the hitters, like Denny McClain and Bob Gibson. The pitchers are way ahead of the hitters. Ron Darling told me last week, these pitches are unhittable. This right now, the anecdotal evidence, it smells like proof to me. And you're 100% right. In the hotter months like June, the ball travels out further. You know, the hitters catch up with the pitchers. This is seasonal activity. But to me, if you're going to have more hitting and more running and more throwing, which is, I think, what Girardi is talking about, that's a very, very good thing. It's more exciting. And if you take away some of the goop, you know, that's okay. I'm just concerned, Mike, that the penalties are not severe.
Aren't stiff
I mean,
enough.
10
we
days
agree.
Out with yeah. pay is a vacation. And that's not it's any nothing. Kind of punishment. You have to yeah. punish pitching coaches. You have to punish managers, or else what you get is just sort of, you know, a cautionary retrenchment and nothing real. That's
what
I think.
Let me ask you something, Tone. Before yeah. this latest assault on the Goopers, were you offended by what you were seeing? I know that we like action. You and I even like stolen bases. We covered in Live yeah. Baseball at the time. But were you as offended? Yeah. Were you as worried about the game, low-scoring games? You watch baseball like I do every night of your life. Did it bother you, or did baseball's major domos make you feel annoyed with these pronouncements and these rule enforcements?
No. What bothered me was all the strikeouts, the walks, and the home runs, and not enough action on the field. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know it was about Goop. I thought it was launch angle and stuff like that. But that, right. yeah, that in fact bothered me, and I like to watch games. The batting average is up 10 points already. The home runs are up 2%. Well, that could be just Kyle Schwarber, who is banging them out for the Nats. Let's take a
Thanks
break.
For coming
coming
around
up
on my man,
was
Kyle.
Last night's win by the Hawks over the Sixers just one game or a bigger shift?
And Shohei has had a remarkable season for the surging Angels, but is Vlad Jr. more likely to win the AL MVP? Thank you for coming around on my man Schwarber, who I never wanted to see leave. Thank you.
He's hitting leadoff. He's banging him out as a leadoff hitter, but he cannot run the bases. Oh, no. He got thrown out by 20 feet last night at third.
Neither could Ruth. You know, if you hit him out,
right.
if you hit him out, you can trot the bases. You can trot around
That's
four
right.
of them.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for toss up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, drinks four creatine shakes, and then gets ripped in his basement gym. What's first?
Toss up. Last night's win by the Hawks. One game or something more?
Mike, that depends entirely on Joel Embiid. Yep. I was wrong yesterday when I said his meniscus tear was the most benign in medical history because it caught up with him last night. He played 36 minutes. He had no lift. He shot 4 for 20, which is terrible. But even worse, he was 0 for 12 in the second half, the decisive half. Mike, the graph is going the wrong way. In games 1 and 2, he had 39 and 40. In games 3 and 4, he had 27 and 17 points. I think the Sixers can beat the Hawks, but they can't beat the winner of the other series if Joel Embiid isn't out there as Joel Embiid, because they don't have a second scorer.
No, they don't, Tony. I'm agree with every word you just said. And I texted you last night before Embiid walked out of the locker room at halftime. And he looked like a totally different guy. And I said, Tony, your prediction on Atlanta's looking good. And then it was too late. I didn't want to text you back to say, hold on there, Sparky. Joel Embiid can't move because it catches up with you. See, Tone, that's why I said that it was sort of a must win, more necessary for Philly, because you want to win and get off the court. You want to get him specifically off the court. Now, he may rejuvenate. He may come back out there and look like the guy from games 1 and 2. That series shifts back to Philly. But Tone, it's a bigger deal than just one game. In Atlanta, they know he couldn't make a layup, and he said, I had no lift, I wanted to dunk the ball. And you can see him try to gather his body, and he couldn't do it. That's just sad, man. The injuries are killing the playoffs.
Next.
Toss-up, more likely to win AL MVP, Vlad Jr. or Shohei?
Vlad is scorching hot right now. He has 4 home runs in each of the last 4 games. He's leading the league in the Triple Crown, 346, 22 homers, 56 RBIs, 64 games. In June alone, Mike, 452, 6-14 in just 12 games. You can't vote for anyone else. But, and there's always a but, how many strikeouts does he have? Because Shohei Ohtani's got 68 and 47 innings. And what's Vlad's ERA? That's right, he doesn't have one. And Shohei's is 285, and he's got 17 home runs, and he's got 45 RBI. And I think there are people that are going to say, if I can vote for Babe Ruth, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, see, Tony, that's what this is about. That is, there are people like both of us, but you to a greater degree, who are so fascinated with Shohei and his ability to do those two things, to be, you know, to be Vlad and to be George Herman Ruth from 1914 to 1920, that, you know, you can't take your eyes. I get that. But, Tony, I don't know. If a guy goes out there like Vlad, no one keeps this pace. But if Vlad Guerrero winds up being 10, 12 home runs, double-digit home runs ahead of Shohei, and he wins a Triple Crown, I don't know. I don't vote, but I'd be likely to vote for him.
He wins a Triple Crown and gets it. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, what did we learn from the Clippers evening their series with the Jazz last night?
And France and Germany faced each other in the Euros match that I had been waiting for, Tony. Waiting and waiting and waiting.
Mike, the Triple Crown is the determinant. It happens so infrequently that you have to vote for that guy. But if he doesn't win the Triple Crown,
Shohei goes like 12-4 with a sub-3 ERA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 49th birthday, Tony Clark. In 1990, Clark was the second overall pick in the baseball draft. Clark went to the Tigers just after Chipper Jones went to the Braves. Jones, of course, had a Hall of Fame career. Clark played 15 seasons for 6 different teams and was a slightly above average player. He batted .262. He hit 251 home runs. Clark finished 3rd in the Rookie of the Year voting in 1996. He made 1 All-Star team. But Tony Clark is more important to baseball now than almost all of his contemporaries because Clark is the first former player to be executive director of the Baseball Players Union. And the Baseball Players Union seems to be against almost everything the commissioner proposes. With the collective bargaining agreement expiring after this season, Tony Clark and Rob Manfred are the men who will have to come to an agreement if baseball is to be played next year.
Tony, these two sides usually have to have a cataclysmic fight before the season actually begins. My over-under on when the season will begin with these two sides going at it is sometime in July. Because it never happens cleanly, does it?
It hasn't. Happy anniversary, Johnny Vandermeer. This is posthumous, but on this day, 83 years ago, the Cincinnati Reds lefty became the first and only pitcher to throw back-to-back no-hitters. Only 4 other pitchers have ever thrown 2 no-hitters in the same season. Allie Reynolds in 51, Virgil Trucks in 52, Nolan Ryan in 73, and Max Scherzer in 2015. There have been 311 no-hitters in history, 312 if you count Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning one. Ryan came the closest to throwing 2 in a row after Vandermeer. In 1973, Ryan went into the 8th inning of a game against the Orioles without allowing a hit. But Mark Belanger singled to center with nobody out. Vandermeer has the profile of most no-hit pitchers. They are not all-time greats. Vandermeer was 119 and 121 lifetime for the Reds, Cubs, and Indians. We often talk about how this record will never be equal, but surely it will never be broken.
Tony, I've been going to baseball games in person for more than 50 years. I have never seen in person a no-hitter. Have you?
One, Nolan Ryan. One no-hitter in my life. Yep, Nolan
that's
Ryan.
That's the closest I got. Nolan, 8 1/3, yep. And he gave up a hit, to a little dinky hit to Dick Allen at the old Comiskey Park, but I've never seen one complete.
I think he had 7 of them. I think he had the most. Happy trails to the Montreal Canadiens playoff winning streak. It ended at 7 games last night as Vegas beat Montreal 4-1 in game 1 of their semifinal series. This was Montreal's first game in the United States since March of 2020 when the pandemic began. As one streak ends, 2 more continue. Vegas has now won 4 playoff games in a row, and Wilbon continues to pick the wrong winner in hockey games on a losing streak that's up to 6 or 7.
Vegas
when Montreal fell behind 1-0 in the first period, it marked the first time the Canadiens had trailed in a span of 437 minutes and 53 seconds. Marc-Andre Fleury, 28 saves for Vegas, recorded his 90th career playoff win, too shy of tying Grant Fuhr for 3rd all-time. In the other semifinal series, which Wilbon also got wrong in game 1, the Islanders will try to make it 2 in a row tonight in Tampa Bay.
Well, at least the Islanders and Tampa Bay should be playing each other at this point of the postseason. Vegas and Montreal shouldn't even be playing each other yet, given their geographic locations. So that threw me off my prediction game. So take a walk.
Really? That and that alone? Really?
That alone.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Your Clippers blew out the Jazz in game 4. What did we learn?
Michael Conley Jr.'s absence, Tony, really does hurt Utah. I don't know where that series is going from here. The New York Rangers reportedly hired Gerard Gallant as their new head coach. Is he a good fit?
I don't know if he's a good fit, but in his first year in Vegas, he went to the Stanley Cup Finals. So he obviously knows something. France beat Germany 1-0. Your thoughts?
Tony, this was decided by an own goal. I mean, there have been too many of those already in this tournament. Enough with the own goal. It's ruining it for me. Diamondbacks have lost 11 in a row and their last 20 on the road. Do you like both those streaks to end tonight in San Francisco?
No. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. No. Why would you think that's going to end tonight? No. Last one, Julio Arias, of the Dodgers, goes for his league-leading 10th win tonight. Do you like his chances?
Yeah, Tony. I mean, at home, going against the Phillies, the Dodgers' aces, once they get in the role, they usually stay there for a while.
Arias? What am I talking about? We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads.